From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, December 11th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
For most of us, reaching adulthood typically means being able to make decisions for our own lives independently. But in Maine, some people with disabilities are placed under the care of a guardian when they turn 18. The state's guardianship system is intended to protect vulnerable Mainers from potential danger and abuse. But a recent study found that most people in Maine who are considered for guardianship don't have legal representation during the process. Patty White reports.
It's a weekday morning, and Charlie Bollier slides into the driver's seat of a car. She needs to get to her job as a cashier at a grocery store in Ellsworth. She's learning to drive, so her best friend's mom, Lisa Cloutier, offers guidance from the passenger seat.
Nope. Remember, step on the brake and then the gas.
Driving, having a job, these are milestones that some may take for granted, but not Bollier. She's 25 and has a developmental disability. Until recently, she was under the guardianship of her adoptive mother.
She was afraid that if I went out on my own, I would be homeless. She was really concerned about, like, predators and stuff.
After she turned 18, she continued to live at home with her adoptive parents. And while guardianship can be a bridge toward independence, Bollier says she wasn't allowed to get a job, cook for herself, do laundry, or even decide when to go to bed.
I thought this was going to be my life going forward. I didn't think there was a way out of it.
Even though you didn't want it, I guess, did you know that you could have an attorney? Did you have an attorney?
I didn't know I was able to have an attorney. I didn't have any legal counseling at all.
Bollier is not alone, according to one advocacy group that's represented dozens of people in guardianship cases.
And I cannot think of an example of a person who had come under guardianship that was represented by an attorney.
Lauren Willey is legal director at Disability Rights Maine. She says there are no statewide data that track the number of adults under guardianship, but Disability Rights recently issued a report that examined more than 2,000 cases over 3 years. It found that 75% of Mainers who go through the guardianship process have no legal representation. For people with developmental disabilities, the rate is 90%. And Willie says there's another key finding.
What stands out to me from the data is that attorneys really do make a difference in outcomes.
Outcomes in this case can mean less restrictive guardianship arrangements or no guardian at all. But one attorney who works in the system questions the report's findings.
Unfortunately, I find the conclusions quite flawed.
Bruce Williams is based in Augusta and occasionally represents the state in guardianship cases. The report is flawed, he says, because it fails to recognize that often both parties agree that guardianship is needed. When there's no conflict, Williams says, there's no need for an attorney.
The attorney is being appointed in those cases where there are doubts, where there are alternatives, where there are objections by the respondent. So the statute's actually working very well in providing legal counsel for the respondents who need them.
Williams also works as a court-appointed visitor. When a guardianship is first considered, he meets with each party and submits an evaluation. He says a medical provider is also brought in.
Where are the safeguards? The visitor is one, the medical provider is another, and the judge is a third. And in all of those situations, if it is believed by these professionals that an attorney is necessary, the attorney is appointed.
Several years ago, the Maine legislature passed a first-in-the-nation law that aimed to reform the guardianship system. Cases are handled in county-run probate courts, and the law directs those judges to treat guardianship as a last resort. The law also envisioned, but didn't mandate, that attorneys would be appointed in most guardianship cases. But Kennebec County Probate Judge Libby Mitchell says that expectation is unrealistic.
I think the system would actually grind to a halt.
Mitchell says there aren't enough attorneys who will take these cases, especially in rural areas. The pay is low and county budgets are tight. Even so, Mitchell believes Maine's probate judges do what they can to prevent unnecessary guardianships.
We do not take this lightly. The last thing we want to do is to put anybody under guardianship.
But Lauren Willey of Disability Rights Maine says it's not fair to expect anyone to try to protect their own legal interests without the guidance of an attorney.
We are somehow accepting that they are consenting to the removal of all their fundamental rights.
Charlie Bollier says she eventually discovered through friends that she could take steps to end her guardianship. She found her chance when her adoptive parents left on vacation last year. She left home and moved into her best friend's house.
I was very scared because I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't even know if this was like an okay thing to do. Am I going to get in trouble with the court? All these questions are going through my head and I'm just scared.
Bollier called Disability Rights, which helped her terminate her guardianship last May. Her adoptive mother didn't challenge the petition, nor did she respond to requests for an interview. Bollier continues to live with her best friend and her family.
What is the most exciting thing about being on your own, being independent?
Being able to realize my capabilities for myself and to learn that I'm a lot more capable than everyone else thought I was.
Next year, Bollier says she's going to Southern New Hampshire University. She wants to become a social worker and help other people with intellectual disabilities. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Senator Angus King said today that the Lewiston mass shootings were part of the reason he wants the Department of Veterans Affairs to conduct more research on brain injuries. A Boston University laboratory has said the Lewiston gunman had traumatic brain injuries that could be linked to explosives training within the Army Reserve. But King says more research is needed into the cumulative effects of exposure to lower-level blasts. He is co-sponsoring a bill that would require the VA to conduct longer-term studies on those impacts.
We know enough to know it's a problem. We just don't know the magnitude of it. But once we can determine that, then we can talk about how to mitigate it.
The bill's other lead sponsor is Republican Senator Jerry Moran of Kansas, who will chair the Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs next year. Forestry experts say Maine has to move quickly to curb one of the worst spruce budworm outbreaks in decades. The native insects devour spruce and fir needles and were responsible for defoliating millions of acres across northern Maine in the 1970s and 80s. Now about 250,000 acres on the northeast border are at risk from an infestation triggered by moths blown in from huge outbreaks in Quebec and Ontario. And Alex Ingraham with timber landowner Pingree Associates says property holders and the state have to take urgent action to tackle the problem before it gets bigger.
And we need to ensure that we have the right tools in place and the right coordination to make sure that this does not become an economic disaster.
Landowners hope to line up funding to target pesticide sprays on affected areas next spring. State regulators are planning to gradually roll out new rules for short-term rentals in Maine's unorganized territories. Nicolo Grisco has more.
Short-term rental owners would first be required to register their properties with the Land Use Planning Commission. Eventually, property owners will have to comply with a set of parking, wastewater disposal, and other standards, which state regulators say they plan to address with a second round of rulemaking. There would be no fee to register. Commissioners say the registration requirement will allow them to reach short-term rental owners and help them prepare for the upcoming regulations. The decision comes after regulators spent more than a year collecting feedback from property owners and residents in unorganized territories. Some residents had expressed concerns about noise and trash disposal. A two-year-old study found there were nearly 600 short-term rentals in Maine's unorganized territories, but regulators say that the registration will give them a more accurate count. The LUPC is expected to finalize the new registration requirements sometime next year. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Ogrisco.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announced this week that it wants to list monarch butterflies as threatened. Philippe de Maynadier with the Maine Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife says in Maine, populations are relatively stable. Even so, because monarchs use habitats that are in backyards and close to home,
the public does have an opportunity here to play actually more of a role than they might in most federal listings.
De Maynadier says planting and preserving milkweed, which monarchs depend on to reproduce, will influence their success. Federal officials are seeking public input on the proposal through March 12th. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, a guide to useful giving. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.